Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Jambalaya Podcast. It is October 31st.
That's right. It is Reformation Day. And happy Reformation Day to everybody watching. We are calling today's few-minute broadcast Jambalaya because a lot of you have not heard from me in a while. And so I wanted to touch base, catch up with everybody, and greet everyone and just kind of see what's up and say hello and see how everybody's doing and so forth. So this is called Jambalaya, and Jambalaya is, if you don't know what Jambalaya is a dish from Louisiana that has all kinds of stuff just jumbled in there, you know, rice, protein, seasoned vegetables, all kinds of spices, and there's just all kinds of countless variations. It's jambalaya, so it's a Cajun dish, and I think I've had a pretty authentic one. I'm not sure. My good friend and lawyer Darrell Jones made me and one of my best buddies back in the day, Warren, this jambalaya in his house. So he said it was authentic Cajun style. So I believe I've had a good one, but we're calling this jambalaya. We're going to talk about a few things, a little bit of everything, wide ranging topics. And I don't plan to be on here long, but who knows, because I drank half a cup of coffee. And I'm going to be finishing this coffee up as we're online. I know you said it's late for coffee, but that's because in a few minutes, I'm going to be heading out to the gym. Joe, yeah, Joe Cooper says, I'm making him hungry. Talking about the jambalaya. Yeah, jambalaya is great food. The closest thing to authentic we have near me is probably not authentic, but it is the Papado's. We got that Papado's by my house, which is one of my son's favorite restaurants because they have alligator and all those kind of things, and fried alligator and gumbo and jambalaya and some great fish. They do have some great fish there and some delicious scrumptious shrimps, fried shrimps there. So anyways, Joe, love you too, sir. God bless you. We're talking about a few topics today. And if anybody would like to ask me, what do I think about anything? Go ahead and shoot your comments there, and I'll let you know what I think. Halloween is what some people call today. Actually, in the Protestant church, it is Reformation Day. It was today that hell had lost one of its greatest battles. It was today that Martin Luther King broke away from the corrupt, demonized Catholic Church during the Dark Ages, and he freed, multiplied millions of people that were in his spiritual loins from the bondage of indulgences and false teachings in the Catholic Church, and started a revival all throughout Europe and eventually went worldwide. We celebrate Reformation Day, October 31st, 1517. And then if you're Catholic, then you're celebrating maybe Halloween. So the date of Halloween's origin, let's pull up the date of Halloween's origin. I want to pull that up here. The date of Halloween's origin. I'm going to pull that up online. Okay, let me see. October 31st, when did it originally start? So they say most scholars agree that Halloween They say it's 2,000 years old. Most scholars agree that Halloween, as we know it, originated some 2,000 years ago when Celtic people in Europe celebrated the end of the harvest. Now, I disagree with that. And let me tell you why I disagree with that. So we're on today to share some thoughts. What do I think about Reformation Day, or some people call it Halloween? What do I think about Halloween? So let's talk about this here in a second. But I want to say hello to Brother Bolsai Khan. God bless you from Mongolia, Bolsai Khan. You are awake early in the morning. Matter of fact, I'm talking about Mongolia today. We are talking about Mongolia today here in a few minutes. So should I start now or should I talk about Mongolia later on in this few moments we're on here together? Let me know, Bolsai Khan, if you want me to talk about Mongolia now. But Joe Cooper said amen. So yes, let me tell you a little bit about what some people call Halloween. And I'm going to share a little bit what some people call Halloween. And I might be able to actually, I might be able to screen share some of this with you guys. So I'm going to see if I can do that. See if I can screen share. I'm going to screen share what one priest says about Halloween. He's a priest that does deliverance. And I'm going to see what he says, or show you what he says about Halloween. Then I'm going to tell you what Pentecostal theologians have to say about a very riveting and thought-provoking fact about what many call Halloween, and which I call Reformation Day, because I don't want the enemy to steal our holidays. This is Reformation Day. So I'm going to pull this up here. Let me see if I can pull this up. I want to share it with you all. Okay. Let's see here. I'm going to get my post. I'm going to do a screen share if possible. And I want to share with you what this priest says here. Hold on. All right. Okay. Good. All right, I found it. Now I'm going to try and screen share. See if I can actually screen share this with you all. And Joe Cooper says, then comes All Saints Day for the Catholics. Yes, All Saints Day. So let's see if I can share. Okay, share screen. I want to share, let's see here. I don't want to share that. I want to share this. You see Chrome tab. Here we go. All right. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to get the audio on this. Let me know if you hear the audio, guys, okay? I'm going to play it. Let me know. So give me a comment and tell me if you hear the audio. Here we go.
All Hallows Eve. That is the Eve, the night before, of All Hallows or All Saints. Word and time has become associated with the evil and the demonic. There's a reason for that. We call it the demonic inversion. Satan takes those things which are holy and inverts them and mocks, tries to mock the Lord with these. Halloween is just such a thing. It is mockery of the great feast of All Saints. We should realize that the demonic is out in force on Halloween. It's not just a fairy tale or whatever. No, and those who are spiritually sensitive will tell you they sense them. A really strong influence of the demonic. They're possessed. Many times they will say they'll be particularly tormented on Halloween. Well, we at St. Michael's Center, we do holy hours, a time of prayer. How do we counter the work of Satan with the power of Christ thing? And then we'll have a social. We're not a killjoy. You know, we can enjoy ourselves and have fun, but we start with prayer. We start with Jesus, and then we have a nice social function. We'll pray to all the saints, as you see in the background. We'll pray to our Blessed Mother, but especially Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, Lord, Satan's dust, and Halloween will give way to the beautiful feast of All Saints. Halloween, it comes from All Hallows Eve. That is the Eve, the night before, of All Hallows or All Saints. Word and time have become associated with the evil and the demonic. There's a reason for that. We call it the demonic inversion. Satan takes those things which are holy and inverts them and mocks, tries to mock the Lord with these. Halloween is just such a thing. It is.
All right. So you heard that. And it's repeating. So I'm going to stop that. And then I'm going to show. Hold on. Let me end that. And I'm going to show you. So this is what a Catholic exorcist, he says that Halloween, he says, we all know, and anybody that has any spiritual sensitivity, he says, we all know the evil energy that is around and released during this time. So he addresses that and talks about that. He also explained that it's All Hallows Eve, talking about the saints, and they pray for all the saints and so forth. So it's the Eve, the day before. So I guess November 1st would be the day they pray for all the saints, and it's the Eve before, Hallowed Eve, the night before when they pray for all the saints. But he says the demonic realm has inverted that. And so the enemy has inverted that and tried to steal from the church. Now, let me share this with you guys. I'm going to remove myself. Actually, if I remove myself, you might not be able to hear me. So let's go this way. I want to share with you what a charismatic university shares about Halloween. And Halloween, they says, this is an IQ test for Christians. Civilization, that Christian invention, didn't build on pagans. Now, this is very important, and I agree with this part, and I want everyone to get this tonight. Civilization didn't build on the pagans. It conquered them. Somebody shout hallelujah. We didn't build on the pagans. So to say that Halloween started 2,000 years ago with the Celtic occult and stuff, that itself is not a kingdom narrative. We didn't build on the pagans. We conquered the pagans, and we built a new house upon the foundation of Christ. Come on, somebody. The pagan festivals were colonized, not just reinterpreted. They weren't just reinterpreted as you have been told. These grave diggers that excavate the bones of paganism to decry a Christian day think that a new house built upon an old cemetery somehow belongs to the dead. Halloween and civilization belongs to the church. It was invented by the church as All Saints Day, All Hallows Tide, and its modern paraphernalia of ghosts and costumes and free candy and paraphernalia to this day are such as pine trees and stockings and reindeers are to Christmas. Discernment doesn't begin with your gut. It begins with your head. And this is the present problem of the church. It has no Christian memory. Because it has no Christian memory, it resents holiness. Paul the Apostle, sexual ethics, and everything else the church held fast for two millennia. In an age where we push judgment, finality, and looming death aside for present gratification, in a time when pastors won't even talk about the impending doom of hell, Halloween is almost a prophetic confrontation. The materialist is haunted by the reality of the supernatural, and the atheist is reminded that he will die. The critical thing fundamentalists misunderstand about Halloween is that demonic participation is a hard thing to do. It involves faith. Just like giving of gifts on Christmas Day does not make one a participant of the blood of Christ. Heathens celebrate Christmas, give gifts. It doesn't make them a participant of the blood of Christ. So they say, in like manner, trick-or-treating does not make one a participant of the blood of witches, or I could add their seances, so forth. The memory of Christian civilization must be fought for, not abandoned by Christians. This doesn't mean that we should dress up like the dragon. It does mean we should teach our children that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, candy included. It also means we dress up our kids like Saint George, who slayed the dragon. A little bit of humor there. But we're seeing here a theological, charismatic, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal, theological understanding of Hallows Eve. Also, we can say Reformation Day. So we don't give this day to the devil. We don't say that this is the pagan's day and this is, you know, just a Christian reinterpretation. It's a Christian triumph and victory over pagan traditions and an establishment of new Christian traditions whereby we can worship the Lord, remember his victory, and so forth. So I thought that was fantastic. Now, would I have a trunk or treat in my church? Not unless it included soul winning and evangelism. Would I have, there's all these names I just heard of when I came back to America. When I left America back in 2008, all Halloween stuff was demonic. Now I come back and all the churches celebrated, you know. So it's a bit confusing for me. My wife and kids are non-participatory because they see all the ghosts and the goblins and they say, this is not for us, you know. They have some common sense. But would I do a trunk or treat? No, I wouldn't unless it included evangelism. Would I do a hell house? A hell house is where a church makes a... they take the whole church and they make all the rooms different compartments of hell, and all the members reenact murders, abortions, drug addictions. And then before you exit the building, there's Jesus on the cross being attacked or beaten with whips, and the two thieves on the cross, and Jesus preaches to you from the cross, crying out to you not to go to hell. It's a very powerful soul winning thing. So I don't encourage a trunk or treat, but I would encourage a participation in a hell house. I wouldn't bring my kids to attend in one. I'd let them act in one, but I wouldn't let them attend one because at their young age, it is scary. It is scary as an adult, especially the ones who do them great. Shout out to Pastor Daniel Cruz, Faith World Church of Chicago. He does an epic hell house. I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do an epic hell house. Thousands of souls saved every year when they would do that. So, yeah, if you're doing an outreach where you're actually preaching and souls are being saved on Reformation Day or on All Hallows Eve and people are getting saved, then that's a real outreach. If you're just having a trunk or treat or fall fast or harvest fest because you're just afraid that your little Christian kids are going to feel all left out from all the other little devils they go to school with, well, then I don't support it. I think there's nothing wrong with teaching your kids to come out from among them and to be separate and the virtue of being separate. And I see the people that are having these fall fests and harvest fests and trunk or treats. A lot of them are pastors who were Christians growing up. They were raised in church, maybe even pastor's kids, and they missed all the fun and activities on October 31st, so they don't want their kids to miss out on it. So they're kind of like getting back with their Christian version of Fall Fest or Harvest Festival, but it's not really a community outreach. So to me, if you're calling it a community outreach, but there's no preaching of the gospel, there's nobody getting saved, then it's not. It's just really just trying to mask up the feelings of being different, the feelings of not fitting in, and trying to mask them up for you and your kids, so forth. But if it's truly you're preaching the gospel and saving souls, then give out all the candy, dress up like a dinosaur, whatever you got to do to get souls saved. Or in the case of Hell House, dress up as demons, do all those scary, horrifying things to show what hell looks like so people could be saved. It's a very powerful thing, Hell House. But do I support just a community outreach with no preaching or a trunk or treat or a fall fest or a harvest fest? Actually, I personally don't. But I do not give All Hallows Eve to the devil. I do not give Halloween to the devil. As this exorcist that I showed you, this Catholic exorcist said, he said this is a church tradition. And like the Pentecostal theologian said that I just showed you, if you missed it, you could rewatch the broadcast, rewind it, where I show you what the Christian Pentecostal Theological University says, as well as the Catholic exorcist in regard to today. You should go back and see that. But we did not just reinterpret pagan traditions. We had conquered them, colonized them, and we had brought the gospel to these nations and to these people groups and to these days and so forth, and we had won them for Christ. The kingdom of God had had a victory over these areas and demonic cults and false religions and so forth. But as the Catholic priest said, the enemy is always trying to invert, you know, he's always trying to invert the things of God. And so Halloween is one of those main holidays where the occultists get together. Now, not every country, not in Mongolia necessarily, or or Thailand, or in, you know, Budapest, you know, maybe Budapest, but not like the non-Christian countries. They don't celebrate Halloween. And because of social media and Facebook and YouTube, they're trying to do Easter, but they don't know what Easter is. They're trying to do Christmas, but they don't know what Christmas is. In China, they celebrate Christmas nowadays, and they don't even know why, you know, and they're trying to do Halloween too, which they just basically dress up and go to parties, and girls can wear bunny suits and stuff. So that's them celebrating Halloween. They don't really understand the demonic stuff about it. They don't understand the Christian stuff about it. They're just doing it to copy America. But in the warlocks and the witches and the shamans of these false religions in foreign nations, this day is nothing special to them. You know, so it's not like it's a spiritual law that October 31st is special to everyone who's demonic. It's something that the pagans in America and the Satanists of America have chosen this day as an inversion, just like they take all kinds of Christian things and they use it as inversions, just like a lot of people who are kidnapped and raised in covens and stuff. They're tortured and they're played hymns. They played hymnals so that if they ever walked into a church and they heard Amazing Grace and they heard these hymns, they would start to manifest. They would be repulsed and run out of the church. So they take Christian things and they try and demonize them to create an inversion. And it's really American occultism, American Wiccan, American Satanism that does that. But there's no thing about October 31st that's going to make the monks in Tibet do special seances or something like that. You know what I mean? And so, and let me just talk to you about this too, please. While we're online, everyone asked me about this pastor who was a witch. I'm not going to say their name. You know, I want to say their name, but I'm trying not to. This pastor who is a witch, this pastor who is ex-witch, this pastor who is ex-warlock, and this girl who was an ex-this and ex-that. Let me just tell you something, my Christian friends. Please, I have no occult background. I have no witchcraft background. I have no Satanist background. And let me tell you this. All of my years serving God in ministry around the world and in all the circles and looking at the Rebecca Brown books and all these different things, let me tell you, people who were in the occult and in witchcraft and were Satanist, they oftentimes, the hallmark of their activity was their lust for power. And the minute they get saved, praise God, what we do in the Western church is we let them wiggle their way into pulpits and platforms to preach and minister and pray for people. And I have found that oftentimes it's not out of a pure spirit and pure anointing. It's oftentimes there's some darkness still there. There's some darkness still there. I'm privy to a couple of cases of ministers, pastors who said they were in the occult and they come out of Satanism. They come out of the occult and now they're ministers. And some of these guys have been caught astral projecting in young girls' homes to watch them as they change clothes and so on. Some of them have been caught, doing demonic things. In the last 25 years of my life in ministry, I have heard testimonies of young girls saying the pastor came into their house at night, so on. Famous pastors who were ex-witches, ex-warlocks, and they're still doing the same things, but they're doing it now within the church. Let me tell you, there are witches in the church, there are warlocks in the church, there are new ages in the church, And just because they say they're a Christian, we want to reshare their testimony. I mean, you know, we're so fast to reshare the testimony of an ex-Satanist who got saved, the next witch who got saved. It's so powerful. You want to share the testimony. And then they start getting likes and views and starts going viral, start getting invitations to churches. And next thing you know, you got demon-possessed people preaching, laying hands on people, talking about occultism in a way that brings awe and respect to demonic power. Let me tell you guys, this is a mess and it needs to stop in the body of Christ. What I learned from my friends in Singapore is that the first time somebody comes into the church that was a new ager, a cultist, a psychic, you don't give them a platform to preach and share and all that kind of stuff. The first thing they do in Singapore is they shut the third eye. They shut it down. They shut the third eye. My friends in Singapore, they say they pray. They say, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for an angel of the Lord to take a fiery sword from heaven and stab that third eye in Jesus' name. And they shut that third eye down and forbid them from prophesying, forbid them from sharing visions completely for a couple years until they learn the word and get sanctified. And if they get a call for ministry, it's not going to be because they have a lust for power like they did in the occult. And so they wiggle their way into the pulpit. If they get back into the pulpit, it must be a true and genuine call from God, out of birth, out of true humility. Do you hear me today? It's a mess, the American church. How many ex-witches and ex-warlocks that aren't even ex that are on TBN, Daystar, Christian TV, Viral Online, all this kind of stuff. Listen, if you were a witch, you need to shut up and sit down and get washed by the water of the word, sit under authority, and get totally delivered from all that lust for power and stay in disciples and that lust for being in leadership and running over people for a couple of years before you get qualified to start giving visions, prophecies, words of knowledge. I know so many people that are in the occult and in witchcraft, and they're so-called saved now, running around, giving all kinds of visions. I see a blue aura around you, and they're speaking in tongues, and we just accept them and let them give demonic prophecies over people. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. People ask me, what do you think about this pastor? He was a Satanist. What do you think about that pastor Satanist? I say, you know what? I think my spirit rejects them. I think, praise God, they're saved. Now let them sit down. Who do you listen to then? I listen to Lester Sumrall. I listen to Kenneth Hagin. I listen to proven men of God, Rod Parsley, Rodney Howard Brown, Brother Copeland, proven men of God, Jerry Savelle, Bill Winston, proven men of God that have lived a life of service to God. That's not an ex-witch, ex-warlock, or mama, daddy wasn't an ex-witch or an ex-warlock. That's who I listen to. Because I'm not going to just let anyone pour all their spirit into my spirit just because they have a testimony of being coming out of that stuff. You came out of that stuff, great. Now why don't you go be a doctor, go be a lawyer, go be a scientist, go open up a business, get into real estate. You don't need a pulpit now because you were once a warlock. And most of these ministries, when they teach on the demonic, it's always in a glorification of the dark side way. So I have to get this off my chest, please. And I need a place to share this. Amen. We have a comment coming in. Amen. This is enlightening. Bishop, preach. Amen. I have one of my good friends. I'm not going to say his name. He was a high Satanist warlock. Very famous. One of the most powerful and famous leaders of the occult in America. I met him at the Full Gospel Businessmen group. He was preaching in 1998. And he got into the highest ranks of the demonic realm because of his lust for power. And then he got saved. So, of course, he's in ministry. And he wrote a lot of books that actually reveal a lot of stuff about the demonic realm. And I read all those books. So I know a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but, Now he's in the goofiness, wearing a kippah and they're wearing a prayer shawl everywhere he goes, thinks he's a high rabbi, and, you know, falling back into that same occult spirit, lusting for power, lusting to be some esoteric spiritual high leader or whatever, you know. And it's all a ministry rooted in the original perversions of the witchcraft and satanic, you know, way to be raised up into that stuff. So if you want to listen to some pastor, some preacher, some evangelist, listen, let me recommend you Joseph Castillo, Rodney Howard Brown. Let me recommend you Lester Summerall, Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince. Let me recommend you some good proven ministers. Amen. Listen to some good Billy Graham. Hallelujah. Listen to some great, you know, Jack Hayford. Hallelujah. Listen to some good, wholesome Mark Job out of Moody, fantastic Bible teacher. Some guys that don't have a bunch of baby sacrifices in their background. Please, please. You need to hear from those guys, really? You know, I'm sorry I'm jumping on, you know, your most famous internet YouTube guys, but let me tell you something. We are in the generation of the itching ears. The good old time fashioned gospel is not good enough. And you got to hear from some ex-mafia guy. You got to hear from some ex-warlock. You got to hear from some ex-witch. Keep your witches and your ex-warlocks. Let me hear from some good old time Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. Hallelujah. Let me hear from some good old R.W. Shambach. Hallelujah. Let me hear from some good old Holy Ghost preachers. Amen. That's what you should be feeding your spirit with. Because oftentimes there's a dark spirit that comes with these guys, even though they're speaking in tongues and they're laying on of hands. Most recently, we got this girl who's all popular, all these people running after her, loving her, Catherine Crick, having big meetings, big money coming in, people following her all over, and there's demonic all over her ministry, demonic all over it. She's basically worshiping this guy who's in the heavy witchcraft in Africa, homaging him, saying he's the only one that could introduce people to the only true Jesus, and that everyone has to come to this man if they want to be saved. Totally demonic. And people are flocking with itching ears to these ministries. Let's get back to good old-fashioned Holy Ghost Bible teaching, trustworthy ministries of God. Amen. I listen to Marlon J. Reed, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, Rodney Howard Brown, Bill Winston, my spiritual father, Rod Park, some good old time fashion Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Even some good old fashioned Greg Locke. Love Greg Locke. Some good old fashioned Baptists. Hallelujah. Some good Holy Ghost people. Amen. We don't need to listen to every ex-occultist, because peppered in their background is this oftentimes a lot of times I've seen, maybe I'd say 30-40% of the time, peppered with demonic residue. The first thing you need to do if you're a witch or a warlock and you get saved is sit down and be renewed in the water of the word and get all that stuff out of you and come under discipleship. You don't need to be a preacher and leader in the body of Christ. Now, I don't know, some denominations have rules that if you were into homosexuality, they won't ordain you. You can't be a senior pastor if you were into homosexuality. You could talk about that, debate about that. I've not given no thought about that, you know, but maybe we should have a rule where if you were in the occult, you cannot be a pastor. That would be a healthy rule to protect people spiritually. If you were in the demonic, you know, if you were in the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, a new ager, you know, you can't be a pastor. You have to go through some serious time, 5 years, 10 years of sitting under the word, getting that out of you, not lusting for power and position and platform and pulpit and microphone, or lusting for spiritual powers. You remember that guy in the Bible that he was a witch and a warlock, and then he got saved, and immediately he wanted to flow in God's power and tried to buy it. We just say, oh, wow, now he wants to be in God's power. Hey, could you preach all over America and get on a YouTube channel and come on God TV? No, he cursed him and said, let your money perish with you. You want power in the wrong way and for the wrong reason. Okay. Now, who do I vouch for? Who in my spirit, who do I vouch for that was into the occult and the demonic? I'll vouch for Bishop Duncan Williams, powerful man of God. I'll vouch for Nikki Cruz, powerful man of God, guys that came out of witchcraft and really are true ministers of God. Anyone else, I say, just watch Brother Hagin, please. Just watch, you know, Lester Summerall. All his stuff's on YouTube. Norval Hayes, all their stuff's on YouTube. Derek Prince, all their stuff's on YouTube. Bishop Joseph Still, all my stuff's on YouTube. Pastor Rodney, Proven Ministries, Joel Osteen. Find you some good, John Osteen. You know, even Joel's good if you're a newcomer. But John Osteen for some good Bible preaching. Amen. You want to see the supernatural? Watch some good old Shambach and Catherine Kuhlman meetings on the anointing. Watch some Benny Hinn on the anointing and the ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Watch some Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. Hallelujah. Amen. Some good Holy Ghost guys. You don't need to be finding every witch and warlock on YouTube to find out if Halloween is demonic. You see everybody running around like ghosts and stuff like that? It's not obvious to you? There's a righteous side and there's a wicked side to October 31st. We have Reformation Day, All Hallows Eve, where you know, there's church things established today. And then we have pagans that have inverted it and running around like demons. And that part we don't support. And if you're going to do an outreach as a church, let it be a real outreach with real preaching and real souls saved. If zero souls got saved at your Harvest Fest, it wasn't an outreach. It was just trying to replace what you feel that your kids are lacking and missing out on because you felt that way when you were a kid growing up. Amen. Good to see you, Sita, in England, London, England. So anyways, Jambalaya, what else is there for me to talk about that I said I'm going to mention? Pelosi. Pelosi and the Democratic Party the Radical Democrat Party, I should say, are trying to pitch Paul Pelosi's recent incident with trying to pitch a recent incident as some MAGA Republicans, right-wing Christians that broke into the house to attack Paul Pelosi. However, that is completely a lie. It's not the case. The audio recording from the police call that came in and from the police call to the dispatch reveals, and I've heard the police call, I've heard the dispatch, that he knows the guy. He said that he is my friend and his name is Dave. This guy opens the bedroom door for the police to come in, and they're both sitting there naked in their underwears with hammers. This was not a hit from a radical right wing. There's some freaky hanky-panky going on in Paul Pelosi's home when his wife was out of town. She was in D.C., 2 in the morning. He's sitting in his bedroom, naked with a guy, and they're sitting there fighting each other. You know, so this is not what it was pitched to be. And I have been blocked in permanently from Twitter. I don't know if Elon will let me back on. He doesn't even know me. Hopefully they'll find me and add me back on. And this could get me blocked from Facebook, but I want to tell the truth while I have it. While I have any kind of platform, let me tell the truth. Paul Pelosi was not attacked by a stranger. It was some type of lover's quarrel, maybe male escort quarrel, most likely from stuff that I've been reading. They say that night he was in a gay bar and they closed at 2 a.m., went back to his house, so forth. There was also some rumors that last time he got pulled over with the DUI, there was cocaine involved. There might have been a drug use and homosexual activity. Things, maybe they got too drunk or maybe things got out of hand. However it happened, it escalated where him and his friend, Dave, the guy who was arrested, that they're claiming is a MAGA Republican. He's actually not. Come to find out that he actually is an outspoken nudist who they get naked and they go to events naked and they do like homosexual publicity stuff. He's a total left liberal, not what they're trying to spin it to be. And if they didn't try and spin it to be some MAGA Republican, maybe all these facts wouldn't be so importantly needed to be leaked out. But because they're trying to lie and spin it before the elections, really the truth should be told. So I'm sharing with you the truth that has come out. So this is another part of the jambalaya. So we talked about All Hallows Eve, Reformation Day. We've talked about Paul Pelosi. Talk about Mongolia. We're gearing up to have a crusade in Mongolia this coming 2023. We're excited about it. Also, I'm gearing up for a very powerful, significant, important political event that I will be sponsoring in Mongolia over the winter. I can't say too much about that. But, you know, I was having it in my heart and my mind to, you know, through my mortgage business to finance everything myself. And then I talked to Pastor Randy Hooper, and he told me, he said, no, listen, you know, the burden of the ministry and what God's called you to do should not be just coming out of your own pocket. You know, you need to, you shouldn't think like that, and you need to really let people sow into it and be a part of that. So I'm readjusting, and I'm gonna believe God to do it. I'm going to work hard so I have money to do it. But at the same time, too, I'm going to also keep the invitations out there for people to partner with us to make it happen. So we'll be talking more about that in the future. However, this thing that we're doing for the government is very high level. I can't give much details about it, which is the challenge for fundraising. But anyways, no one ever gives from a public post on Facebook anyways. So I'll be sharing privately with some people that care about the nations being saved. But we are planning a crusade then to follow up with that coming next year, a miracle healing crusade. Franklin Graham just had a crusade there, 3,500 people. I'm not sure how many got saved, probably at least 1,000. I'd have to check the numbers out. Last time I did a crusade there, we had 1,000 souls saved. But he had a crusade, but it wasn't a crusade with power and demonstration, signs, wonders, miracles, and the fire and the glory of God. It was a John the Baptist, you know. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we've not even heard whether there was any Holy Ghost. And then Paul replies, well, then what then were you baptized? They said, well, into John's baptism. He said, well, John truly baptized, preached the gospel, saying that you should repent and believe for him which is to come, but you shall receive the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. So they, after receiving the John the Baptist gospel and being baptized, then they received the full gospel and filled with the Holy Ghost. So that's what I need to come now, boom, right behind Franklin Graham and bring the full gospel of signs, wonders, and power next spring or fall in Mongolia. So believe God with me for that. But we'll be raising maybe 50, 60 grand for that. And I believe God will do it. I'm feeling the faith to do it. So besides that, and our jambalaya, I wanted to talk about Mongolia. And I also wanted to talk about prematurely, probably a little bit about what we're doing in Houston. I'm praying about having some form of apostolic ministry here in Sugar Land, you know. So you could call it a church, you could not call it a church, whatever you want to call it, but really an apostolic ministry where we can have a place to disciple the people that we're sharing the gospel with and making relationships with and so on, and raise people up and empower them in the calling of God that's in their life. Jonathan Ferguson in Dallas, he doesn't have a church. He says he does not have a church, but they have a building that seats, I don't know, 350 people or so, and they have maybe 300 or so people that attend there monthly. He has meetings there monthly, but he don't call it a church, you know. I don't know how he would define it, probably an apostolic center, but the people, they get discipled there, they worship there, they pray there, they fellowship there, they have services once a month there, but it's not a church. So I'm not going to do a church per se, but we might do, we're going to do something. We're going to do something here where we have worship, preaching, teaching, discipleship, but it's going to be a lot more powerful and a lot more intentional than just to come to Sunday type church that is most of the run of the mill across America. So we're redefining for our generation and for our season and for our ministry what the Christian experience should look like. And we believe it should be much more intentional, much more powerful, much more deeper, especially as we see this end approaching. So those are a few of the things I want to talk about today on the Jambalaya. And I think the elephant in the room was all these ex-Satanists and ex-occultists that people are listening to and submitting their spirits to and following. And also, I need to call out the demonic stuff happening with Catherine Crick. Now, can Catherine Crick get right? Listen, she's so loved because she's a very energetic, happy, kind, sweet, and pretty, and young woman. And so there's this natural tendency in the flesh to just to love and be attracted to her ministry and feel excited about her ministry, not knowing that Satan has come as an angel of light. Does it mean that she can't renounce this demonic leader that she's following? Does it mean that she can't repent of the heresy and the worshiping of a false Jesus and operating in demonic power and come out of that and get right with God and come under good, real good pastoral leadership? No, she can. Of course she can. And that would be great because she could be used greatly by God. But she is enchanted by this demonic man. And this enchantment must be broken. I have video on it. I could share it with you in another broadcast, but if you watch the videos of her paying homage to this man in Africa, you see she is bewildered by him, gazed and enchanted by him in a very perverted way. So, you know, we need to just, you know, instead of running around with all these itchy ears to hear the next new pastor, you know, next new spiritualist, you know, we need old-fashioned Pentecost. We don't need to go after all of these, fringe things. We need old-fashioned Holy Ghost Pentecost, repentance, holiness, purity, prayer, crying out for God, preaching the gospel, evangelism, discipleship, casting out devils, just basic Bible, Book of Acts, Christianity. We don't need to be running around with all these itchy ears to hear every, every defiled, so-called ministry. Amen. So anyways, that is my Jambalaya for today. Happy Reformation Day. It was this day that the church had won a great victory by Martin Luther nailing the 95th thesis to that church in Wittenberg, Germany, and God used that. And the Bible began to be printed in German, and the printing press came in at the same time, and God took this gospel, took the Bible, and brought it into the hands of ordinary people so the priesthood of believers could come forth and be raised up. That's all. Oh, Jambalaya. Last thing, let me talk quickly about houses, investments, rates, mortgages. I put some social media out there, limited by time, 30-second clips, 60-second clips, talking about real estate. And some people, when you have a 30-second clip or a 60-second clip, you don't really get the full understanding. So let me give a full understanding why now can be the best opportunity that we've had to buy houses, to buy an owner-occupied home, to buy an investment property that we have had in maybe since 2013, 2012, 2013. Why is now possibly the best time? Well, it's because we have gone through a season of having to bid over the value for the houses that we have been buying. I bought a house last year. It was valued $209. I had to pay $220 for it. I had to bid over somebody. That's a low bid. Some people are paying $60,000 over, $20,000 over. I've heard up to $60,000 over for a house. As things are slowing down, the amount you have to bid over is becoming less. And in some markets, you're even able to buy houses now at asking price. And in some not strong markets, you're even able now to get a lower than asking price. So as we're slowly getting back into a buyer's market, and so if you were paying $40,000-$50,000 over before, and now you can pay asking price or a little bit lower than asking price, you're making a big savings right at the purchase. Oh, interest rates are high. Yeah, of course interest rates are high, because interest rates get high and they get low and they get in between. They go up and down every single year for the history of mortgage rates. That's what they do. They go up and down. They follow the economy. They follow the inflations. And so when they want to spur, you know, up the sales of homes, they lower the rate. And then when they want to decrease inflation, they raise the rates so that the inflation could come down a bit. So the rates are going to come back down, at which time you could refinance. So the little bit of extra money that you might be spending with the higher rate, you might be paying a couple hundred dollars more. Say you're paying $300 more every month with that higher rate. Well, but you're saving on the purchase $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 that first year. And so now you refinance next spring, next summer, and you get yourself down, you know, from a 7.5% to a 4.5%. Now you're putting that $300-$400 back into your pocket, and you save so much on the acquisition, because guess what? House prices are continuing to go up, and rental prices are going up on new rental contracts. They're going up 14%. 14% on new rental contracts. And also, if you are living in a house, you're renting a house, you're renting an apartment, and that's going up too year by year. So that's going up, you know. So if you get in a house now, you're going to save the prices going up on the rent, which all the rent money is going to garbage. You're going to save on having to pay so much by paying less bidding over, or even paying par or paying under value. If you can negotiate, and it's been on the market for a while, you know, and the people have a lot of equity and they want to sell it, they got to sell it, they got to move out. I used to specialize in that back in, you know, 15 years ago, where we would look for people who were, their spouse died, they have to move, they're leaving the country, they die, you know, all these situations where people have to sell quickly. And those, and maybe they only owe $30,000, $40,000 left on their $500,000 house. So there's so much room to negotiate. So you say, hey, listen, I'll buy now, I'll close in 2 weeks, I'll close in 1 week, you know, so forth, you know, but I'll buy it right away. And the house has been on the market for a month. Well, you could walk away with, you know, $30,000 less, $40,000 less, $50,000 less. So these are the chances that you have. Some of the best chances are right now. Does that mean that we're not in a bubble, that there's no bubble? A bubble has more to do now. After the crisis that took place when all those fake mortgages, that's over with. We're not going to see that again. But a bubble has more to do with, you could put yourself in a bubble. If you buy in the wrong place, and you paid the wrong price, well, you put yourself in a bubble. You be patient. You do your homework. Now can be the very best time to buy. And so with a buy down of the rate, you could buy it down 2% the first year, refinance next year. You're in the best possible position to buy a home now than we have been in about 10 years. So that's a full explanation for those who maybe see my clips and thought it was crazy, you know, so forth. But anyways, good to see everybody. There's your jambalaya for today. Those of you who have your feelings hurt, because your favorite warlock is saved now and you watch them all the time. And that's all they preach about everywhere they go. Every time on YouTube, it's the same message about how powerful the devil is and how you got to be aware and stay, you know, and that's all they preach about. Well, listen, Nikki Cruz is a great guy. Bishop Duncan Williams, great guys. Came out of the occult, came out of witchcraft, great men of God. There are some genuine there. But I'd have to say about 30 to 40% of guys that come out of that stuff are still full of those demon spirits. And they've just been Christianized, but they haven't been totally delivered because they still have a lust for power. They still have a lust for money. They still have a lust for women, all kinds of things. And they're still operating in a third eye spirit that God is not into. God does not want to open your third eye. If you have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, it should be revelation from God. It shouldn't be the development of your third eye. That type of teaching is heavily occult. And there's even people nowadays that call themselves prophets that are soaking in Epsom salts and all kinds of things and putting crystals on their forehead to try and strengthen their third eye. That's operating in the gifts. Not in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's operating in spiritual giftings as you will. And that is the very precipice of the demonic realm. The very satanic Bible, Anton LaVey, or not Anton LaVey, it's Aleister Crowley's Book of Magic. Do what thy wilt. Operating at your own will in spiritual things opens the door for the demonic realm. You operate as the flow of the Holy Ghost releases you. And so people that come in with the occult, first thing you should do is stab that eye right in the middle of its forehead by the blade of the word of God. Shut that thing down. Stop them from operating in any type of spirituality until they learn the word of God and get full deliverance and come under authority. You know. So anyways, God bless you all. Thanks for watching. Feel free to share this to all your friends, to all your pastors and all your discipleship group. This is Bishop Joseph Castillo signing off from Sugarland, Texas. Praise God. This is Bishop Joseph Castillo, and I trust that you were encouraged and impacted by that message. Whenever a word of God goes forth by an anointed fivefold ministry gift, it leaves an eternal impact. So I want you to share this podcast on your social media, tweet it out, send it to your friends and your family so they can also receive this word of God. Now, if you're listening today and you haven't settled accounts with God, if you know you're not living right, let me tell you, Jesus came to this world not to condemn you, but that you can have life. And if you pray today with me, opening up your heart, repenting of your sin, God will give you a fresh start. Just open your mouth out loud and repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Give me new life. Father, I repent. From this day forward, I belong to you. Satan, I renounce you and the works of darkness, and I receive now the power of the Holy Spirit to give me new life and strength to overcome sin." Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to contact the ministry right now. Send us an email at anifcontact@gmail.com. anifcontact@gmail.com. And I'm going to send you some videos, some free books, just everything you need to grow. And we're going to connect you with the local church in your area, because this Christian life has to be lived with brothers and sisters, and you need pastors and teachers and men of God to walk you through, or women of God to help navigate and teach you and grow in the things of God. So we love you. We thank you for listening today. We ask you to share this podcast. Sow into the ministry. Give at anifTulsa.com. That's www.anifTulsa.com. Thanks for listening. This is Living Proof with Joseph Castillo.